patent legislation must not be reform legislation and affirmative measures with regard to those must not be impeded by the provisions, other provisions of the Section 25, the property clause. And there is enough authority to instruct us that we've got to find compatibility between these various measures, these various reform and resource reform legislation, which has not happened to date. And you're correct to say that land claims and mining and mineral claims do not speak to one another. We'd like to believe that under the guidance of also looking at it internationally, because we, if we are going to adopt the transformative measures that we need in this industry, in mining industry, we've also got to justify it to the international community, whether we like it or not. We believe that the authority is in our international law and economic, international economic policy, that we can take transformative measures. In particular, it's justifiable if we look at the roots of the structure of the mining industry in this country, and we say that it has its roots in the land question. We'll get the mining question right if we get the land question right, and vice versa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Follow-up questions, Honourable Members? Yes, Honourable Schmidt.
Mr. Chair, the statement that you will get the mining issue right if you get the land issue right is a heavily loaded statement, because in it is packed a lot of issues. It does land surface rights, in your view, it would probably indicate a preferential claim of some sort to mineral rights, which, except for a particular year, or a particular year, I think it was, with regards to the MPRDA, and possibly old order right holders for a period of 5 years in terms of mining rights, did not create any other rights to holders of land, or owners, or occupants of land, or communities. So you would, it would need a revisit of the MPRDA, the structure of it, because the structure of the MPRDA literally removed ownership of minerals, with a designed objective of removing ownership of land from mineral rights. And are you basically saying one has to revisit the basic structure of the MPRDA, or are you saying one could do so within the current broad structure of the ANC, of the MPRDA, with regards to the interaction between what you're saying in terms of community rights vis-a-vis the MPRDA?
The ANC members are laughing, Honourable Schmidt. I'm sure they have their hopes raised that you would cross the floor. ANC is within your vocabulary. Would you care to respond to that, legal resources?
We're going to keep it very brief. There's limited value in revisiting ownership as we understand it under common law. What we're seeing is that we've got to approach it from a decision making angle. And what Enderwa does significantly is it insists that the community must participate in development decisions. And if it didn't happen in the past, put them back in a position that they can rightfully participate in that decision with equality of arms in terms of bargaining, because there were no equality of arms when we were driven off the land. And we're saying that the equality of arms does not necessarily have to derive from ownership of the minerals. We say, well, of the land, it's probably very important symbolically that it involves ownership of the land. But with regard to minerals, let's put people in a bargaining position that we can work something out that can work for them, and that relationship or the equality of arms in the continued development process should be and could be revisited from time to time. It is not unlike the proposals for change in ownership gradually over time that we've heard about earlier today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's thank Legal Resources Center. And indeed, going forward, we may want to, as we have said to other presenters as well, we may want to call you back in terms of clarifying certain matters that you have raised, and when we have had the chance to analyze the submissions closely, because we would want to move in a manner that one, we have more than one opinion legally, so that we know that we are within the legal framework in terms of decisions that that we take. So your input is very valuable to us, and I like your passion. You know, you identify with the community when you say we were driven off land forcefully, and we have not been compensated. And I think that that kind of identity is important, because how do you represent people that you don't identify with? I think. From where I'm sitting, I see a passion in terms of what Legal Resources Center is doing, that it has been doing in any event since time immemorial, before even the dawn of democracy. We used to appeal to you when we were faced with some serious challenges. So we really appreciate. Sometimes if you have to tackle us as government, so must it be. But I think you're doing that from the progressive position. That's what distinctively differentiates you from the others as Legal Resources Center. We thank you. Honorable members, lunch is here, isn't it? All of us, including our guests, let's have lunch. We still have other applications for oral submission. We will assess from the committee section to see how many of those, and then do they warrant us to schedule public hearings for Wednesday, which would be the last for this term. And I hope that by that time we can then also set aside some time to discuss our study tour, because we won't have another formal session until we have come back from that study tour. So the committee secretary will notify you the latest Monday morning, if not this afternoon. With that, honorable members, let me thank you very much. I know it's a Friday today. We're supposed to have been gone already, but let me thank you for persevering and demonstrate commitment to the work that you are doing. The meeting is adjourned. Let's have lunch.